Blog Talk Radio.
Well, there you go, and good morning all. Welcome into another Frat House Sports' Race Trim Motorsports Hour, one of the few remaining here this season. Now, we just got two more weeks here of, we only have two more weeks of the entire race season. Subsequently, two more weeks here for our season as well on the Race Trim Motorsports Hour. As we are heading now to Chase Race number 8. God, it's a long season, isn't it? Holy smokes. Chase Race number 8 down at Texas Motor Speedway. And a mid-race. You know, we're in that in-between period here right now. Waiting for the dust to settle for the elite. We had a winner last week in the first of segment 3. It's really next week where things, you know, pardon the pun, the rubber meets the road. That'll be the one, because that'll be the final cut race before we get to Homestead, Miami, and then ultimately the final four. But, lo and behold, take a look here. Who's in the final four that we know of? How about it? Jimmy Johnson. Not a bit surprised, really. Jimmy Johnson won his second Chase race of the season last week and officially finds himself in the final four for Homestead, Miami. So, interesting setup we got here, because we've got two races remaining. We will have four in the championship race. Question becomes, do we see two Chase drivers win the next two races to make it three, and then one in on points? That'll be the interesting situation. I think one of the other things that's terribly fascinating here is that for all of the praise that has been heaped, not only by ourselves, but across the entire spectrum of NASCAR motorsports, despite all of the praise that has been heaped upon Joe Gibbs Racing, well, they've been, they're in the chase. Yeah, we've got all those drivers, but are there any chase wins? Kyle Busch is going to find it a little bit difficult this week, as he finds himself not only in a backup car, but I believe he's coming from like 24th in the pack. Holy smokes. So one starts to wonder, you would think you've got to have at least one JGR, if not two, in the final four. Will the defending champion be on the outside looking in? All of those things are going to be something we're going to be taking a look at. We're going to be taking a look at the leaderboard very, very closely as well. And all of the praise that has been heaped upon Jimmy Johnson this past week, because it certainly wasn't lost on me as I looked around the media. Holy smokes, I couldn't get over the amount of praise that was heaped upon this guy. We'll chat about that as well. As I pointed out, we're heading to Texas, and this is going to be kind of this is a good one if Kyle Busch wants to get himself going. And, Kevin Harvick finds himself below the cut line as well, and he's kind of used to this sort of situation as well. Does he make a move today and potentially maybe get himself a win and locked into the final four? Because we've seen Harvick do that just about all season long, haven't we now? All right, so there you go. That's our lineup for today. We'll be getting into all of those sorts of things. And as well, taking your calls here, 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports in the garage, 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a comment in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. Or if you're on Twitter, you want to get through to me directly, real simple. Just go over to Twitter, hit me up there at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me there, at Frat House Mike. Well, let me get at least, I think one of our mechanics is still out trying to round up the coffee. I think that's what I heard. But the other mechanic, I think, is sitting here with us. We got Brandon in here this morning. Brandon, how are we doing this morning? Only got a couple more weeks. Only got a couple more weeks of this.
I was doing real good. I was in, you know, 5 minutes before the show, listening to the countdown. And all of a sudden, my laptop decided it wanted to just reboot. And crashed and reboot. Apparently had some issue or installing an update of some sort. I didn't even tell it to install updates, but whatever. I was rushing to let it get rebooted and back in here. Made it, finally.
Wow.
And it had nothing to do with Blog Talk, I don't think. Because it made this beep sound, which I've never heard. And then when it came back up, it said, Windows has restarted because it was unable to install an update. Click here to see what you need to do to fix it. I'm like, whatever.
Oh, man. Well, it's a good thing it wasn't like one of those updates that, you know, like there's 12 of them or something, you know, and it would have taken.
It says it only has one pending. I don't know. Whatever. Let's talk some NASCAR. I hate that when I'm sitting here. I'm in with plenty of time. Blog Talk for once gives me no aggravation logging in, and then my computer does it.
Well,
you know,
I just mentioned
some days.
I was just mentioning, I mean, it is, yeah, I've said it now for the past couple of weeks, but as we have moved into the early part of November here now, God, it's a long season.
Yeah, NASCAR should look at trimming it. I mean, you know what, if NASCAR was over, you know, before Halloween, I don't think anybody would, you know, necessarily get upset about it. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I mean, NASCAR is the only major auto racing series left. They're all done. Everybody's done except NASCAR, and they still got, what, 3 weeks? There's three races left?
Yep, two weeks. 2 weeks and three races, right?
Well, three. Yeah, I'm going by events. So, yeah, I mean, even all the motorcycle stuff's done for the year, I think.
NHRA still has 1 week.
Do they?
Yep, next week.
Okay. All right. Well, there's one. I think everybody else, I mean, Indy's been done.
Yep.
I think Formula One's done. You know,
yep.
All like I said, all the motorcycle stuff's done. So, you know, it's like, yeah, I think NASCAR needs to maybe look at trimming a few weeks off of this somehow. Or I don't know if they could because, you know, they say they don't want to, you know, there's no track who wants to give up events. But I don't know. With the way attendance has been and ratings have been, it's almost like maybe if you take a little bit away, what's left, people will want more. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're just a little oversaturated. Take a couple events away.
It starts to feel a bit, I don't know, this year, for some reason or another, to me, it just feels a little almost anticlimactic. Like, you know, we still have three races to get to find out who the ultimate champion is going to be here yet. I mean, like, we're going to run this race here today. Yeah, and sure, it's certainly going to go a long way to kind of, as I pointed out earlier, you know, settle the dust. We're going to settle things down. We're going to figure out now where we're going.
You might lock someone in. You might lock somebody in.
Well, sure. But, I mean, ultimately, it's a set. You know, today is a setup race for next week. That's what it is. That's what this week is. It's a setup race for next week. Because it's next week, that's the one that's important. That's a cut race. So, you know, if Kyle Busch has a really horrible day here today, or as I pointed out, you know, a Kevin Harvick or something, somebody like that, then, you know, it's all the pressure is going to be on them. I mean, I suppose in some respects you could have somebody locked out this week unless they win next week. You could have that happen too. But I don't know. It just it has a kind of an anti-climatic sort of feel to it.
Well, I can tell you this much. Our loyal listener, Liz, in the chat room has responded to our comment with a big capital no with exclamation points. The break in between February or November and February is already long enough. Couldn't take another couple weeks out of it.
Oh, wow.
So look at that. We already got the NASCAR nation screaming at us. So maybe I spoke too soon.
We better get off that topic then, I guess. I don't know. Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Well, no, good for you, Liz. We appreciate the feedback and certainly the sentiment. I guess we got told.
I guess. That's okay. That's what we're here for.
Exactly right.
Exactly. If you have an opinion, let us know. That's why, you know. That was just my opinion, you know, and I love racing. Don't get me wrong. I'm watching, come January, right after January 1, I'm watching the first Supercross race of, you know, motocross or the Supercross season. So I'm always in, you know, and NASCAR starts up with the shootout race and we go from there. So I don't know. Maybe I was off base a little.
All right, well, let's take a look at last week at Martinsville.
I think Sidekick's here. Why don't we bring him in first?
All right, let's get Sidekick in here. Let's see if he's had his Sunoco fuel. Has he? Sidekick, are you raring and ready to go here? Or?
Absolutely, but I missed the call. What did Brandon get called out for?
I said something to the effect of, I think NASCAR should shut down the season, a couple weeks of the season, and maybe finish right before Halloween, that it's just a little monotonous and it just drags on so long. And I pointed out that other, you know, just about every other racing series, with the exception of NHRA, which has one event left, is done already. And NASCAR still has 3 weeks left. And I'm like, yeah, maybe take a few away. It might help the ratings and viewership a little bit and attendance, you know, that if there's less of them, people may, you know, look harder to go see one or something. But Liz disagreed with me, so.
Well, you know, let me begin by saying happy birthday there, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
And I agree with Liz because, you know, it's not my birthday without Homestead.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Homestead's on your birthday weekend.
Oh, boy. I don't know. He sounds like a guy who's missing a sport. That's what he sounds like to me. Yeah,
I don't know how much he was missing.
You know what
I mean, frat house.
I didn't get to say it on Thursday's show, but I gotta say, I was kind of bored watching football.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh wow!
Sidekick came up to the frat house to watch a little NASCAR, and unfortunately got sucked into a little NFL, and he didn't seem too thrilled with the NFL.
What do you mean, unfortunately? What's unfortunate about that?
It was weird. I was kind of like,
I haven't missed this.
I don't know if it was just the games and that aspect, or if there really was. Yeah, it was like, so
we did watch a fair amount of the race though. So
yes, we did.
Yeah. No,
yes,
we did.
And,
you know, there was a couple moments, you know, during the game, you know, but I don't know. It was weird. It was just kind of, you know, like I said, I don't know if it was just the matchups or, you know, maybe because I didn't have players on those teams. Yeah, I don't know. Of course, you know, most of my players aren't on my team anymore anyway, so.
Yeah, I noticed the great purge, what was that, Tuesday or Wednesday?
That was Thursday. That was
Thursday.
Right before Thursday.
Yeah, that's right.
That was
Thursday.
Right before Thursday night's show. Like two
that's
hours
right. It
before
was Thursday.
The show, I went and dumped my whole fantasy team.
That's
just
right,
because
I called it Bloody Thursday.
Yeah.
That was actually quite amusing to watch.
You know what was really interesting, and not to talk NFL on a NASCAR show, but I actually, my projected score actually went up by like 15 points by me.
I noticed that.
You good for nothing bench warming bums. Get off
He's got a bunch of scrubs in and his score goes up.
Yeah.
Well, what's that say for his guys he cut?
Well, exactly. Well, you know, when when you're, you know, when you have two keepers and both keepers come up as duds, Adrian Peterson, the guy that was supposed to be my cowbell for the season goes out. Well, that, there goes that. And then Russell Wilson, what the hell is with the Seahawks this season? They suck.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, just straight up suck. So, I was doomed from the get-go. So, I put too much trust in my two keepers thinking they were going to carry me for the season. But, oh well. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
My keeper is already off my team as well, so that happens. Injuries, et cetera.
Yeah, it happens. But, I don't feel bad because, my record's, in and around a game or two of the commissioner there, Fred House.
Yeah, really. Really, I know. I know.
So, for as much trash as people want to talk about my team.
That's all right. You know what? I'm going to win. You watch what's going to happen here today. I am going to
run the gauntlet.
You're gosh darn right.
You're going to miss the playoffs.
Exactly. I'm going to roll off 5 wins in a row and just barely get into the playoffs with a 7-6 record. You watch.
That's okay.
That's what's going to happen.
I'll keep a couple beers for you warm, cold on the couch. So, you and I could, maybe we'll go hit up some links. We'll go get some early golf in.
We'll keep each other company. being miserable on the sideline during the playoffs. But, I'm telling you, for all the projections are that 7-6 gets a wild card. In our division, 7-6 gets our wild card in our division. So that's all I need is a 7-6 record, and I get in. So watch.
There you go.
And
of course, there's my daughter up at the top who doesn't have a single loss all season long.
I know. She's like wrecking,
Dear Lord, 8-0.
Yeah, I hit that buzzsaw last week.
My goodness. 8-0.
I'm hitting scrubs. I'm hitting scrubs and getting freaking buzzsawed, losing by 70 points.
Well, everybody's going to think they tuned into a fantasy football program.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
Anyhow,
Jimmy Johnson. Wait, hold on. One programming note. I'm sorry, Liz. For some dumb reason, I have not been able to, for the past number of weeks, have not been able to get the chat room open, so I can't even see what she's saying.
Isn't that something? I can't do it either. I have to have Brandon do it, and then I have to open
it. It must be something with the Flash and Chrome, because I know you're a heavy Chrome user as well as I am.
Yep.
So it must be something with Flash and Chrome.
I'm using Firefox, and it works fine.
Yeah, I may have to go in here and squeak and mess with it a little bit. So
I just hate Firefox, but anyhow.
I prefer Firefox to Edge or IE.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, if I had to, but all right. Anyhow, Jimmy Johnson won this thing last week. Now, interestingly,
surprises?
I'm looking back. Not really, I guess. You know, what's kind of funny is how this is all kind of morphed a little bit, because when I go back to segment one and conversations that Brandon and I had, I guess before Dover. Who will make the cut or who won't make the cut for segment one? And at that time, a lot of us said, I know myself, and I think Brandon, you might have, and I think we had Christian on, said, well, Jimmy Johnson won't. Well, Jimmy Johnson wins a race, and we all come back in here then, and we go, well, okay, who's going to make the next cut? And all four of us, Brandon, myself, Sidekick, and even loyal listener Liz jumped in, because I've got hers written down, and all four of us said, well, Jimmy Johnson will make the final four. So, no, not a surprise. I think the other thing, too, is, with Truex out of there now, you would almost have to think that Johnson – and maybe
is the
presumptive favorite, wouldn't you?
Well, I would say between him and Kyle Busch.
I'm sorry.
Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch, those two guys, I mean, yeah, we you know, the first segment we were like, yeah, Jimmy Johnson's not going to make it. You know, obviously based on history. You know, we were just going on, you know, his past performances. And, you know, he all kind of, you know, shut us up, I guess. But, you know, in the same vein, you know, you can never count Jimmy Johnson out, just like you can never count Kyle Busch out. I mean, hell, look at last season. How many race handicap did he give everybody else by busting his leg at Daytona? And he comes back to win the whole damn thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, you know, yeah, Jimmy Johnson was on our radar segment one, but like I said, you know, he's always a threat, and he's now gone and said, okay, I've got my, you know, I've got to win in each segment. You, at this point now, you almost have to put the crown on him.
No, I'm not ready to do that. I'm not giving up on Harvick. I think Harvick's still going to be a player in this.
I do. You know, when was it Win Place Show there, Fred House, Mike?
Yep.
You know, that's a good, you know, that's probably going to be your three.
We have to see.
Johnson, yeah. Harvick, Kyle Busch.
Then you just got to figure out who you're going to make your other.
Who's going to be the points guy? Who would be the fourth?
Well, I'm trying to think of. See, I don't know if off the top of my head, if Texas is typically a good track for Kyle.
Two-time winner.
Okay.
Who's won here more than anybody else? Jimmy Johnson, 6 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is lining up for you know, the guys we've mentioned to all do well today. I don't know that Texas has necessarily been a killer track for Harvick either, but you know, it is.
We have Phoenix's next week, right?
yeah. See, that's where I'm. That's where I.
Yeah, see, that's
I keep
Harvick
in my back pocket there because nobody beats Harvick there, and I don't care if he's below the cut line now. I don't care if he finishes dead last tomorrow or tonight. Today, he just has to win next week, and he's in. He ain't getting eliminated by anything today, so. You know, and he has not only won just about the last 6 or 8 Phoenix races. He has totally destroyed everybody. You know, leading 95% of the laps, and I mean we're talking like ridiculous stuff. So you know, that's why I say you can't count Harvick out. You got Phoenix coming up, and you know obviously you know he could have an engine problem, he can get an accident, tires, you know all the same stuff we always talk about, but. You know, you still got to put him as the presumptive favorite for Phoenix.
Okay.
Until somebody shows me they can run with him anyway.
Okay. Now, let's just play with that concept for a moment. If Harvick has got the advantage for next week, then you have to put the onus today on Kyle Busch. Who's running in a backup car out of the 24th spot. Okay? Now, you say, or Jimmy, I don't know. I wouldn't put the onus on. When I say onus, I'm talking about who's got more pressure on him. Johnson's got no pressure on him because he's into the Final Four. If Kyle Busch is going to make it to the Final Four, and if, let's just say for a moment, as you're saying, Harvick is almost a gimme for next week. Well, then that means Kyle's got to do very, very, very well here. So the onus is on Kyle Busch.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
Now, one of the things that I pointed out as we were coming into the program here is, you know, suddenly Jimmy Johnson, and I want to throw that question out here in a moment because – dear God, the articles I read this past week, it's suddenly like the media's like completely fallen in love with Jimmy Johnson because everything was pro Jimmy Johnson this week. But Jimmy Johnson winning two, we've talked about in the chase. We talked about this past season. You know, Hendrick and Johnson in particular, not a spectacular season. So I don't think the expectations were terribly high. Suddenly now, presumptive favorite. On the other hand, we've talked all year long about Joe Gibbs Racing. And yet, consider this, guys. Joe Gibbs Racing doesn't have a single win in the chase right now.
Yep.
There's
and they
an
better,
irony.
They better come up with something soon or it's going to be too late. Are any of them high in the points, any of the Gibbs cars?
Denny Hamlin is second. Matt Kenseth is third. Kyle Busch is fourth right now on the cut line.
So we could conceivably have a GGR car be the fourth team with no wins in.
Yes.
Because really, you can only have three different guys. Well, you can have up to three. Unless
three,
Jimmy
correct.
Wins again today or something, you know, or somebody wins today and next week two in a row.
Correct. Or you get a non-chaser winning the race.
Oh, yeah, true. That would muck things up a little, too.
Carl Edwards right now is eighth. So who are our four below the line? Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, and Carl Edwards are the four that are below the line. Now, Texas has been good to JGR in the past. Kyle Busch, two-time winner. Kenseth, two-time winner. Hamlin, two-time winner. Carl Edwards, a three-time winner. We've got four of the drivers all with multiple wins here at Texas. Odds on today would be
Danica
a JGR
Patrick taking them all out.
I was going to say odds are here today would be what? JGR gets a win. I just don't know whom. Throwing it out
yeah,
there for conversation.
Know.
I don't know.
Kyle probably has a good bet. I think Denny Hamlin has had some wins down here, thinking back.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't particularly – Kenseth or Carl Edwards don't stand out in my mind as being winners. I wouldn't be stunned if they did. I mean, they all run pretty well on these mile-and-a-half tracks. You know, the quote-unquote cookie cutters. This is, you know, almost a twin to Charlotte. At least it was when it was built. I think they've kind of tweaked it a little since then. But when it was built as an exact duplicate of Charlotte. So, you know, they tried to duplicate it anyway. But, yeah, so I don't know. I see your point. I mean, JGR does need to do something. You know, one of those teams could come up with a win here. And that certainly wouldn't hurt nothing.
Well, I mean, just considering the fact that, you know, when it comes right down to it, that's really the only team that we have talked about consistently all year long. I mean, almost from week one on, we talked about JGR, their dominance, and it got more and more and more, and it just built all through the entire season. And then, of course, we've had this early run with Martin Truex at Toyota, you know, a quote-unquote JGR satellite who ran very, very well through the chase, won two races in the chase himself before getting knocked out of there. And so I think that kind of took the steam off of the JGRs was Truex. Now, spotlight more on the JGRs because they're by themselves. And we're into chase race number 8, and no JGR has a win. And I just wanted to reiterate again, Texas has been good to the JGR drivers. As I just pointed out, Kenseth is a two-time winner. Hamlin is a two-time winner. And Edwards has won here three times. Kyle himself twice. So you would think a JGR would, you'd have to almost book one today. It would seem to me. You book a JGR. The question is which one. I'm not sure I would bet on Kyle. Not after the problems he's had so far this season, or this weekend, rather. You know, he wrecked in practice. He's had to go to a backup car and did not qualify well. Apparently had some sort of an engine issue with his backup car during qualifying and ended up 24th. So I you know, to me, I'm going to be honest with you. If I have to modify my guess on who's in the Final Four, I'm going to tell you right now, I think Kyle Busch is not in the Final Four. Because everything points to the fact that this today has to be Kyle Busch's race, and I'm not sure it can be. Anyhow, go ahead. Sidekick, jump in. Breaking news.
We need I've got a conspiracy theory for you.
Well, you want a sound effect for that? Okay.
I wasn't quite sure if the Is This Anything Stinger was a good one or not.
I think I can think of one right now off the top of my head. I'll have to see if I can find something that's similar to what I'm thinking of. Go ahead. I'll let you know when I come up with something.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. You look back at Talladega, right? You know, and these guys all sat at the back. The JGR cars all sat at the back of the pack.
Yep.
Just biding their time, trying to not get in any accidents, not have any problems. That's why you don't see JGR winning any of the races in the chase so far. They're sitting back sandbagging.
That was one race.
But I'm telling you, I think that's their philosophy for this chase.
It can't be now.
Well, it may not. We may see them finally have to flex a muscle and show something because, you know, you're getting down. But I think up to this point, their whole strategy has been run clean races, stay out of trouble. Obviously, we can't do anything about mechanical failures, and that's what we saw with Truex. The only reason Truex is out is because of mechanical failure. You know, if he had not had a mechanical failure, I'm sure we'd still be talking about Truex Jr. And I think that only added to JGR's, all right, let's tone things back. Let's just run clean races. If we can win a race, let's win a race, but let's not go out there and try to make something happen that isn't there. All we got to do is keep our noses clean and stay above the cut line. And we saw that Talladega, which race was it where Hamlin was? Was it?
It was Talladega.
Yeah, it was Talladega.
Hamlin came
right?
in second.
Hamlin was below the line, so he had to race a little
bit. Hamlin came in second, and the rest of them were like 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
Yep. So, okay,
but today, it would seem to me now, Sidekick, I hear what you're saying, even if that was their philosophy for, say, you know, 6 or 7 out of the 8 races so far. Today, it's top down, right? Today, for all of them, it's got to be top down, right?
Well, I still think you're going to see them not out there really trying to take chances and make something happen that may not necessarily happen. You know, because they know they can't afford a DNF. So they're still going to be out there trying to, you know, I still think they're going to be playing it a little bit safe. Now, obviously, as you alluded to, you know, between the JGR drivers, there's what? 7 wins?
Something like that, right? 2, 4, 6, 9.
Okay. You know, so they've got 9 wins between all of them at this track. So this is, you know, you can say that this is a historically JGR
dominant.
I wasn't going to use the word dominant. I was going to
friendly.
Friendly,
JGR
yes.
Friendly.
There we go. JGR friendly track. Just like, you know, Phoenix is a Harvick friendly track, even though he really just dominates there. But, you know, you may see them running a little bit up front. Obviously, Kyle Busch, between the wreck and having some engine problems, is not looking too good today. But I think you may still see him trying to come out of this without a DNF.
Okay, Kyle Busch right now is in fourth place in the standings. Joey Logano is in fifth place in standings, 4 points behind Kyle. The one who's got the most right now, the one who's the most behind, is Carl Edwards, who is 32 points behind the cut line. That's not even behind the leader. He's 39 points behind the leader.
Right.
So he would need 40 points. Carl Edwards would need 40 points.
You might see Carl trying to make some waves.
Right.
And like we saw Denny Hamlin at Talladega, because he's obviously, eighth, out of eight. So he probably needs to make some noise. Plus, he's a three-time winner here.
Exactly. Exactly.
So he might see him running, separating himself from the rest of the guys. You know what I mean? But I really think that's been their MO in this chase is, hey, just run clean races and, don't DNF.
All right, so you
versus Harvick's, when the chase started, Harvick tweeted out that picture of a lion running through the stands or something, saying he was coming, and he's made no qualms about it. He's been out, that dude's been out there trying to win every damn race.
Okay, so your thinking today would be anticipate that Hamlin, Kenseth, Busch will be running, mid-pack, a clean race, stay in there.
Yeah. Not trying to push, not trying to push somebody, not trying to, you're not going to see them in there trying to get aggressive and trying to bump somebody or do any of that. They're just going to sit back. I wouldn't be surprised if you almost could put a little bubble circle around them guys.
Carl Edwards, on the other hand, look for him to be somewhat more aggressive.
Yeah. Or at least trying to, I don't have the qualifying order up in front of me right away, but if he's not at the front, he's probably going to try to get himself to the front and try to hang up there.
Carl Edwards, he's coming out of the ninth spot.
Yeah, so he's almost there.
He's in pretty good spot. He's in a pretty good spot, yes.
Yeah, so, and they're all going to be keeping their eyes on Kurt Busch, Joey Logano. Because the other two below the cut line, the other two below the cut liner are JGRs, correct? If I remember correctly.
Below the cut line, no. No, in fact, three of the four are above the cut line. Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch are 2, 3, and 4. Logano, Harvick, Kurt Busch, and Carl Edwards.
There you go.
So you got Logano in there, you got to be watching. You got Harvick in there. Kurt Busch is hanging by a thread. And I'm just checking where they're coming out of it for today's race here real quick. Excuse me. Kurt Busch is in the 10th spot. Kevin Harvick is coming out at number 4. Joey Logano is coming out. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Joey Logano is coming out at number 2. Kevin Harvick coming out at number 3. So you got both of them up front. Oof. Boy, oh boy. Interesting. Interesting. What do you think, Brandon, of this strategy? What do you make of the strategy?
It could be. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, they definitely were laying back at Talladega. There's no doubt of that, except for Hamlin, who had to, to advance, he had to finish high. Last week, I don't know what to make of last week. Maybe it just wasn't, they're all up, they're up there in points, I mean, Johnson won the race, so, I don't know. We'll see. They should – I would expect today. Jimmy Johnson already has his win, so he's not going to do anything other than just try to win the race because he don't care. If he crashes, so be it. He don't care. Doesn't matter if he wins. So I'd expect to see him up front. I would also expect to see the Gibbs cars up front, maybe duking it out between them, trying to figure out who gets the win. Maybe they get a win today. Maybe they don't. See, I think guys like Jimmy Johnson, after they win that first race in the first leg of the stretch, it almost takes their pressure off and they can just go now. He has no teammates left to worry about. He don't have any concerns in the world short of going out there and winning that race. And if he don't, oh, well, no big deal. I'm already locked in. So, you know, that makes it a lot easier for that team, if you know, to go out there and win, you know, the second race. I'm not saying, you know, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but I think the Gibbs cars have the pressure. One of them needs to get themselves locked in at least. So, you know.
Well, we're in agreement on that one there, aren't we?
I don't know if there's been a conspiracy laying back up until now or not, but if it is, you know, they may have waited too long. Because, you know,
I
don't see one of them winning next week. I really don't, you know.
That's why I'm saying, I think, you know, if there is a race where you got to take the top off, it's this one for the JGRs. There's no doubt about it. The strategy that Sidekick mentions was absolutely employed by the JGRs at Talladega. There's no doubt about that. Whether they've continued to do that or not, I don't know. But it seems to me they can't today. That's an interesting thinking about the Johnson thing because, you know, I always kind of go back and forth on it. To me, if you've got the win and you're locked in, listen, he should be the one riding in the back for the next two races.
Why?
Why not? Why
take
the risk?
Because he has nothing to lose. What's he risking?
Yeah, you're risking the car.
Who gives a shit? They got 10 cars lined up ready to go.
Yeah. These are all
Seriously,
different
that don't matter.
They don't use the same car every week.
They got 10. I guarantee you Hendrick Motorsports has 10, you know, speedway cars, you know, at this size track ready to roll right now. Whether they're painted up as a 48 or not is irrelevant. They got plenty of cars.
They're not even painted. They're decals anymore.
They wrap them. They just wrap them, you know. Now, the only way I could see what you're saying matter would be say next week. And it really doesn't matter for him anyway because they're not going to use a flat track car at Homestead. Homestead's, you know, basically what they're running this week as far as track cars. But, I mean, if you have a – I don't think the teams have as many cars set up to run a track like Phoenix as they would, you know, the bank mile and a half. There's no way. There's absolutely no reason for Hendrick to even care about this race other than to go out and try to win it because there's nothing going to affect them. I mean, it's not like they're saving this car, you know, that they're running this week for Homestead. They got another car already in the shop ready for Homestead. That you can guarantee.
You know, if Jimmy Johnson could pick up a win this weekend, he's just screwing, you know, the other seven racers. You know what I mean? That's the thing of winning more than one race in a segment, because now nobody else is locking in.
That's true, too.
If he can pull off Texas, going in next week, there's seven other racers that are not locked in. That's when the top comes off for all of for everybody except for Jimmy Johnson. If you think about it, because, you know, Carl Edwards gets a win this week, he's automatically going to Homestead.
Well, sure, right.
You know what I mean? So if Jimmy Johnson can pull off a win here,
he
and that's a big thing because I'm reading through analysis, he hasn't looked good this weekend. You know, He's been struggling with speed in his car, so he may not be as sure as we think he might be at this track. But then, you know, we've got that evil genius Chad Knaus. What was I going to say? But, you know, yeah, so if Jimmy Johnson could, you know, God willing, pick up another win this week, I mean, you know, you automatically put seven other drivers in straight panic mode. You know,
I see exactly what you're saying, but I don't know. There's a pragmatic part of me that comes into play and says, well, I don't see where the way it's structured, I don't see where a win really makes any difference at all. I mean, once you're locked in, I mean, that's what kind of bugged me even a little bit about Martin Truex getting to in segment one. It was kind of like, well, what's the point, dude? There's no point to it. Go get the win when you need to have the win. Don't be getting wins that are basically valueless. I don't know. That's just that's me. That's me being pragmatic about it. I don't know. You know, my philosophy might be completely
wrong. I don't understand how it's valueless though. If you take the win off the table for say a Kyle Busch or a Denny Hamlin or even Kenseth or Edwards, I don't know that's not worthless. You're putting more pressure on your competition to do good now at Phoenix.
I understand.
So you're turning the screws essentially if you go out there and win the second one.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. The bottom line though is this: whether any of those other drivers has a win or not, there are still going to be four drivers at Homestead that are going to be running. Whether they got in with a win or whether they get in on points, I can't do anything about that. I can go win all three races. And the fact of the matter is I'm still going to have three competitors running against me at Homestead. Boom.
You're right, but you're making their job harder. It's harder to get in on points. You don't have let's just say, for example, Kyle Busch goes out and kicks everybody's tail today and they win. They are now, the pressure is off of them for the next race. And they don't, at Phoenix, they don't care. You know, they can just try to win the race or, get ready to move on to Homestead. You know, and see the difference there? In other words, if Jimmy Johnson locks out Kyle Busch today, now they got to watch what they do. They got to worry not to be in a crash at Phoenix. They got to worry, push so hard and have a tire go down. You know, it is a flat track. You know, the beads get hot. You know, you can lose a tire hurry in a long run. You know, we don't want to wreck the engine. We got to make it to the end. It's a whole different mindset that they
got
to be in. And Jimmy Johnson could make them all worry about all that by winning today. See, to me, I think it's – to him, he's got more reasons to win than not win, in my book.
Yeah, it's a mental screw job.
Yeah.
Is basically what
you're
doing.
You're in the heads of your competition
now. It's psychological warfare. And see, go back to Talladega with Martin Truex Jr., right? So Jimmy Johnson pulls off a win today. You go next weekend to Phoenix, right? You're now changing the odds because now all those other seven racers have to, one, they don't necessarily have to win the race per se, but they have to beat the six other people they're competing against, and they got to pray that they don't have a mechanical failure, get caught up in a wreck, or have anything else happen to them. You know, because that's the great equalizer. At Talladega with Martin Truex with blowing his motor.
Mm-hmm.
You blow a motor, you're done. Your championship is over. Whereas if you get a win this week and you go in next week and you blow a motor, who cares? You're locked.
No, I hear you. I get it. I get it.
So I don't say
we're
not
convincing him,
Sidekick.
I hate to tell
you. I know.
Well, no.
But it's not completely
worthless
either. You know.
I get what you're saying. How it changes, basically, it changes the dynamic of the race for the other drivers. That's what it does.
Exactly.
And I might concur with you that it does somewhat. That it does somewhat. It doesn't change the ultimate outcome, which is ultimately, there's going to be four guys who are going to be running in that final race, and they're either going to be there because of a win or they're going to be there on points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true, but it could change the outcome of who gets in. In other words, somebody like who's at the bottom of the cut line right now? I know Harvick's below.
Carl Edwards.
Carl. Okay, what if Carl Edwards goes out there and wins today? That changes your whole dynamics for your two through five. In other words, your Denny Hamlin, Kenseth, Kyle Busch.
Kyle.
Your dynamic has now changed for all those guys. Because now you're going to go to Phoenix knowing that Kevin Harvick is probably going to kick your tail. You got to still manage to be that one and only guy left in that can make it on point. You know what I mean? So Jimmy Johnson winning, and say he beats Carl and Carl finishes the second, now he just changed that onus to now all of them are worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? There's a big difference there in mindset. Yep. And mm-hmm. It puts pressure on your competition. You don't ever want to make it easier, for somebody to beat you. You know, so Jimmy Johnson going out there and winning, he's making it harder for the other six guys, seven guys left in the chase to, make it to the next round, let alone beat him. I don't know. I think it's fun to. It's a fun thing to discuss anyway.
No doubt
now,
about it.
If this was a lower funded team, or you know they didn't have as many cars, you know, then yeah, okay, maybe your argument of well, maybe we want to save the car, but you know we're talking Hendrick Motorsports here. This is no big deal. they chew cars up
now,
and spit them out.
I'll tell you what could get interesting here today. And what time is it? This is from NASCAR on Fox. This is from their website. This was, gentlemen, this was just updated 20 minutes ago. Weather could be a factor in today's race. Weather conditions, weather could be a factor Sunday at Texas Motor Speedway. As of 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, weather.com is calling for cloudy weather at the start of the race. At the start of the second of three races in the chase for NASCAR Sprint Cup, okay, round eight, by 4 p.m. Eastern time, scattered thunderstorms are expected to begin and continue throughout the rest of the afternoon. Okay, now we got a condition changer.
Yep.
Right? Because
we
could have ourselves a shortened race here. So you want to talk about Jimmy Johnson bollocksing up things and changing the landscape and the dynamic of races. Well, guess what? We've got no driver doing it. We've got Mother Nature doing it here, because everybody's going to be thinking shortened race here, right?
Possibly. Yeah, you could have that. Different fuel strategies, different, you know, let's stay out, let's not stay out. Yeah, you got all kinds of issues now coming into play that you didn't have just a little while ago. Now, I'm sure the teams were probably aware of the forecast because, you know,
sure,
half these guys, you know, seem like they're junior meteorologists anymore. I mean, Larry McReynolds kind of started that whole thing. The crew chief who, you know, tracked the weather and all that. But, you know, yeah, it could definitely. I mean, you could end up with a Chris Buescher situation where somebody you totally don't expect to win the race because they stayed out at the right time and the skies opened up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Heck, who knows? Yep. Maybe we'll see Danica Patrick get a win. Maybe she'll fall into it.
Where is Danica? Danica's coming out of the 22nd spot.
Okay.
She's two places in front of Kyle Busch. Boy. Okay.
What's wrong with Kyle Busch qualifying in 24th? Wow.
He had, well, first of all, he's in a backup car because he wrecked his car during practice on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, during
qualifying. He probably didn't get a lot of time in it.
During qualifying, his car sprung a leak and was leaking fluid. They were leaking coolant, some sort of coolant. That was cooling the car down, and the car overheated near the end of qualifying. So, did not qualify well. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I think if there's pressure on anybody, it's Kyle Busch. Because if Kyle, and, you know, this goes back to the original argument that you made, Brandon, that, listen, forget Phoenix. That's a Harvick track. There it is. Expect Harvick to do well there. All right, if everybody knows that, and if that's what we're going to operate on the assumption of, then who's got the most pressure today? It's Kyle Busch. Because without a really, really, really good performance here today by Kyle Busch that will cement him in that top four, which right now I would not say he is number four, but I wouldn't say he's cemented in number four. Unless he is firmly cemented up in the top someplace, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe Kyle Busch will make the final four. That's my personal opinion. I don't think it'll happen.
Wow. Bold predictions. On the Frat House Sports Race Trip Motorsports Show,
This coming from a guy who's 2-6 in his fantasy team. So anyhow,
well, that's football. That don't matter.
It's the same thing. It's still making a prediction. Sidekick weather issues coming in here today. That's going to be a big one, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's all they need is another another uncontrollable factor to throw into this whole thing, you know?
Yeah, really, honest to God.
One thing I will say, though, it does kind of put all the teams in the chase, you know, on an even footing. Because it may just, call for, making a tough call. And, they all got to make that same call, like, as to whether to stay out or whether to come in. You know, if it's going to start raining soon, the radar says we're going to have weather in, X amount of time. Every one of these guys now is going to have the same pressured decision to do. And that's an extra decision that they probably, you normally wouldn't have to think about.
And I'll tell you, the way that it is sounding, because I'm trying to think here, this race today starts at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So they're saying by 4 p.m. Eastern time, thunderstorms are going to be rolling in. So let's say we start at 2, they actually get going by, 2:15. By 4 o'clock, where are you? You're about halfway through. You're about halfway through the race.
You're probably at the halfway or right at it. Depends how many cautions, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah, this race could be cut in half. Could be cut in half, depending on how this goes. Because they're saying that apparently the thunderstorms are expected to continue throughout the rest of the afternoon. Oof. Now, in a case like this, guys, where it's a chase race and it's late in the chase, would NASCAR stop the race halfway and, if they had to, resume the race at that point tomorrow?
They can't resume it if it's past halfway. They don't have that option, I don't think, within the rules. If the race can't be, I think the way the rule's written is if the race is halfway and cannot be completed, it's deemed official. In other words, I don't think they have a choice. So if it hits halfway, it's a race.
Before halfway?
Yes, they would have to, by rule, have to wait till next day. So, yeah, they could be, if depending on the weather, they could be more lenient with keeping a red out longer to try to see if that's what they so chose to do. The rules are very specific, and I think they have it written that way to take any doubt out.
We need that conspiracy theory.
30 seconds ago, NASCAR updated its website and said that it has flexed the right to change the rule of the weather so that they can, in fact, reschedule a race that is past halfway.
What?
To a Monday.
Here.
I'm kidding.
Oh, dear Lord.
But that's NASCAR. That's NASCAR.
I almost believed him for a minute.
So did I.
Right. But that's NASCAR's MO. They will go and they'll be like, oh, wait, you know what? We're changing this rule effective immediately.
Oh,
but the race
God.
Just started. It's okay. It's all right. We're NASCAR.
I got to give you props there, Sidekick. You had both of us going for a second. Way to pull that one off.
Yeah, I've always thought they had the rule written that way to eliminate any question of, whether they were pulling any shenanigans. It's always kind of been,
Yeah, you're right.
NASCAR's taking grief for running around 20 laps under caution while it's raining just to get the halfway to call it done. In the past. So I don't think they'd do anything like that in the chase. But in a regular race, if they just want to be done with it and on to next week, they've driven around, many laps of caution, halfway number. I don't think it's, like I said, I don't think you'd see that in the chase. But that's just some of the fun we've seen over the years from NASCAR and weather.
Right.
Well, I'm still laughing at Sidekick.
So let me ask you
this. He had me hook, line, and sinker.
But, okay, on a serious note about that rule, though, just because it rains after the midpoint of the race doesn't mean that they automatically call the race, correct?
No. They can wait. Yeah, they can wait. And Texas has light, so they could wait well into this evening if they wanted to.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
It just means if it can't be completed, I think, on that day, that it becomes an official event.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
Right. In other words, like, they're not, I think it's written to avoid coming back with less than half of the chat.
Where that gets muddied, though, is the fact that Texas has lights.
Right.
Because I remember the first year I went to Daytona, you know, they didn't start the race until, 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The race didn't finish until 2 in the morning.
Yeah, but that was continuous, though.
But, that's what I'm saying, though. But they had lights, at Daytona. So, and the race had already started. So, at Texas, you could conceivably see the same thing where, in the interest of trying to get this thing, all in under, a full, 400 or 200 laps or whatever it is at Texas, you could see them, trying to eke this out until late.
I think if it does get rain delayed, they will try everything they can to get restarted, unless they just get a window in the radar that's just so, out of the boundaries of trying to get it in,
Well, right. And
This is going to you guys are going exactly to the kind of question that I was actually originally posing. And my thinking was I was utilizing the Major League Baseball playoffs as my example. In other words, in a normal game during the regular season, if it begins to rain, but we've got 5.5 or 6 innings in, at the discretion of the ground crew and the umpires, they can call that game official. However, if we go back to 2008 with the Philadelphia Phils in the final game of the World Series, that got postponed to the very next day, and yet it was an official game. But because of the importance and the magnitude of that particular game, it was incumbent that they had to give both teams every opportunity to play the entire game out. My thinking here would be, here it is. It's, we're in chase race number 8. Would it be in NASCAR's best interest not to be calling this race early unless it was absolutely positively impossible to complete an entire race?
Yes, I would agree. It would be in their best, and they probably will. As I said, they had lights, and I wouldn't be surprised if what Sidekick just said is true. They could be there waiting at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night to resume if they have a window in the rain. And it's feasible. I just don't think they would come back tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't think they would do it. The only way they would do the tomorrow thing is if it was before.
What do you think, Sidekick? Would you agree with Brandon that they would not go into tomorrow?
Correct. If they got past halfway.
Okay. All right.
I'm not saying they wouldn't go past midnight, which is technically tomorrow. I'm saying they won't come back for a second day of track activity.
I mean, a second day. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. In other words, everybody go home back again, do this again tomorrow. No, that I don't think would happen. The only way that'll happen is if it's before halfway.
All right. Well, interesting scenario.
But it definitely sounds like this race is getting started, though, right? According to these weather reports, it's going to start.
According to what I just read over on Fox, NASCAR and Fox, that it should get going. That the showers are not supposed to move in until about 4 p.m. Eastern time. Race is scheduled to green flag at about 2:15, 2:20. Eastern time. So, more than likely, as I pointed out, by the time that the showers are moving in, you're probably at about the midpoint of the race. That's probably where you are. If it gets going by 2:15, what was I going to say about this? There was a point I was going to make.
Oh, now I know you're going by weather.com. I'm looking at AccuWeather.
Uh-huh.
AccuWeather has rain starting in 60 minutes at Texas.
Oh, boy.
So it may not even, it potentially
it may
might
not get,
even,
it
might
may
not
get
started.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull up the hourly to get a better idea. Yeah, expect rainy weather this morning through late tonight. Where's the stinking hourly? I'll let you guys go on. I'm going to try to get the hourly.
There was an interesting article I read last week. I'm trying to remember which game it was. I forget if it was one of the games in the actual World Series or whether it was one of the games in the National League Championship Series. There was a game, though, in the past 2 weeks in Major League Baseball during their playoffs where it was scheduled for 8 p.m. And Major League Baseball, because of the threat of rain, pushed the entire schedule up by an hour. They moved it. They moved game time to 7 p.m. And there was a thought put out there that NASCAR should do the same thing. That, in fact, yeah, we have seen NASCAR move things up by about 15 minutes. We've had that happen before. We've seen that before. You know, and frequently, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of times, you know, here's a race that's scheduled for, 1:15. Green flag at 1:15. Green flag will be at 1. I'm like, well, what the hell? What good does 15 minutes do? 15 minutes is, you know, what's the point of that? If you're going to move the start time, make
that's
it significant.
That's them trying to get the halfway.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You know, to me, make it significant.
That's them going, all right, if we start this 15 minutes earlier, we can probably get this in and get halfway and call it a day.
We can eke out 5 laps. We can eke out 5 laps under yellow.
Yep.
But to me, make it significant. I mean, here's a perfect example. Today is a perfect example. Now, mind you, it's an hour behind our time. So it's scheduled for 2 p.m. Eastern time here, which is probably 1 o'clock in the afternoon there in Texas. Move it up to 12 noon. Do that.
They probably can't, though, with TV, you know?
Well, I was going to say between
although they do so many hours of pre-race.
Yeah. Well, the other reason I don't think they do big swings like that last minute is, you know, you got all the fans at the track or coming into the track. You know, so they don't, you know, okay, so you start a race 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour early. Okay, you know, it's probably not that big of a deal. But if you start talking like an hour, stuff like that, you know, people may not even, you know, might still be in traffic trying to get to the track. You know what I mean? Plus, like you said, you've got TV, you know, depending on what they're trying to, you know, what channel they're on and what channel the pre-race is on and stuff like that. So
I will say this, that with Major League Baseball, as they did the other week, they knew a day in advance that they were going to push it up. So
well,
in other words, the weather forecast was bad enough that they knew that they were actually able the night before to announce that the race or the game tomorrow will be played 1 hour earlier. So there was ample advance warning to their fans, to the people that were coming to the ballpark. And I guess they were just able to, you know, listen, it's Major League Baseball. It's the playoffs. And I guess Major League Baseball, you know, it was Fox that was covering it. So their attitude is, Fox, if you want the damn game, if you want content, we'll have your butt here and cover it. We're calling this one, and it's going to
be
at 7.
That,
it's not going
to
be at 8.
Was that not due to the hurricane?
Might have been, yeah.
Because didn't we move the Charlotte race because of the hurricane? Didn't they call the race and say it was going to be on Monday? I mean, it may have gone off Sunday. I'm trying to remember back. Because there was talk.
I think it was a Saturday night scheduled race that went off Sunday. And they ran, I believe they ran that and the Xfinity race in the same day.
Yeah, back
to back,
right?
Planning on doing that. I think they ended up doing it, too, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because didn't they call it on Friday and say, hey, we're not going to race Saturday night. We're going to race Sunday?
They may have, yeah.
If I remember correctly. So it's not like they haven't done it in the past, but, you know, obviously that's a hurricane. And, you know, you got a hurricane coming up on you know, up on Charlotte. You don't want to play with that because, you know, you're talking to, you know, if you have a hurricane that comes up the East Coast like that, it's going into North Carolina.
Yep.
You know, I mean, so I think they almost had to do something for that. But, you know, just a, you know, like this, where it's just a rain, you know, it's just a rain pattern coming through. I don't think you're going to see them necessarily moving a race, you know, just because, oh, okay, it's going to rain and this is a chase race and we want to get it all in.
All right. Well, you know, it was suggested in the article that NASCAR really ought to consider it, and that's something they should do. I don't know, as you guys are pointing out, I don't know how logistically difficult or whatever it might be to do, but interesting concept because we have seen it employed anyhow, at least in a major sport during their playoffs. So. Before we get into, let me see what kind of time we have here. I don't know if you guys noticed it or not. I sent over a bunch to you today in the outline. I sent over a bunch of examples. Dear God Almighty, I was a little bit taken back by, you know, here's Jimmy Johnson wins this race last week at Martinsville, second chase win. His second win in the chase, and my God, I couldn't get over the number of articles that were just heaping praise upon Jimmy Johnson. He's poised to win his seventh championship, and the other drivers are shaking in their boots, and Chad Knaus equals Bill Belichick, and I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I was reading. I'm thinking to myself, where the hell did all this love all of a sudden come from for Jimmy Johnson? It seemed to me that, if anything, there was a lot of negativity about Jimmy Johnson simply from the mere fact that everybody was getting tired of seeing him win so often. Have we suddenly – that's quelled, guys, because he hasn't won in the past couple of years? I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed it or not, but it just – it struck me how much love there was for Jimmy Johnson from the media. Anybody else notice it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, he's a media favorite.
Is that right?
Yeah, they like him. They definitely like him, I think. I think the media is going to go with where they think the story is. And I think that's what they did in this case with Jimmy. I think because he hasn't won in a few years, you know, maybe some of that's calmed down. I don't think the fans particularly care any more for him than they have in the past, but maybe the media has.
All right. I don't know. It struck me. I was just a little bit kind of taken back by it. I didn't anticipate that there would be this kind of outpouring. I mean, when I'm reading the one article, Chad Knaus is the equivalent of Bill Belichick, and that Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson have the same relationship that Belichick and Tom Brady have. I'm like, really? This is what's running through the media cycle right now? This is where we've gone with this? I'm having a little... I don't know. It was so over the top to me. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It was just a little over the top. I was a little bit taken back by it. All right. So we're at Texas here today, guys. And one of the things I found rather interesting, we haven't really touched on it. We talked a little bit about the starting lineup for today's race. Austin Dillon's got the pole. Got Austin Dillon up at the top. Joey Logano's at two. Kevin Harvick's at 3. Brad Keselowski at number 4. Kyle Larson at 5. Paul Menard 6. Matt Kenseth 7. Ryan Blaney 8. Carl Edwards 9. Kurt Busch is coming in at 10. The Pesky boys are up front. Could we see a win from the Peskies here at Texas? We don't necessarily have a history of either one of them running particularly well here. I think Logano's won once recently, but could we get a Pesky? Could we get a Pesky winner today?
Could. Never know.
You never know how it's going to go, especially with the added weather, you know, equation. You know, you could see that.
All right.
I don't, like you said, I don't think this is particularly a Penske track. I mean, we've kind of, just by going over the stats, it's Hendrick and JGR guys have won most of everything. So, you know, that kind of takes you out of the equation if you're a Penske.
We got Austin Dillon up front. So that's kind of an interesting little wrinkle to the situation, which makes it at least to start the race anyhow somewhat interesting.
Considering he's never finished in the top 10, I think, is what I read.
Is that, he's never finished in the top 10
at Texas.
Okay. At Texas. Well, how many times has he actually run it, really? But, well, let's see. Let's get around and take a look at where things stand with regard to our fantasy stuff. Anyhow, we've got right now, we have 8 in our fantasy group. 8. We have our Elite 8 going. And where do you guys stand? Because I'm out of it. So where does everybody stand? Oh, geez, Brandon, you're an 8th.
Yep,
so,
I'm on the cut line right now.
You're gonna need yourself a good race here today. You're kind of like the, I guess you're the Carl Edwards of today. Sidekick, the race trim fantasy team's in 7th. Our buddy Sammy Big Spoon, he's in 6th. Liz's husband Jim is in 5th, and our top 4 right now. Sidekick, your other team, Spring Rubber, is number 1. Number 2 is Daytona Cement Heads.
Boom confetti.
Yeah, really. Daytona Cement Heads coming in at number 2. Daytona Cement Heads, too, by the way, has the most wins of anybody this season in our fantasy league with 6 wins. Texas 88, number 3, and Texas Ham, Greg. Down there in Texas, is number 4. Home race. It's a home race for Texas Ham for Greg today. So, I don't know. Let's get into your fantasy picks for today. Here, Sidekick. What are you picking for today?
Well, let's see, sir. I mean, pull up the right tab. Okay, for Texas, I'm running Joey Logano, Carl Edwards, Kevin Harvick, Eric Amarola, Michael Annette. I'm going with Carl Edwards and Toyota for winner and manufacturer. And just for, you know, giggles, I will go with Carl Edwards as my Eat My Dust.
Ah, how about that?
And damn it, if John picks Carl Edwards, I'm done.
Well, let's see here. I can go through these real quick. Where do we stand anyhow in our Eat My Dust at this point? Let me just run the standings there real quick.
I think John's running away with it, if I remember correctly.
John has got John's got over 1,000 points now. He's at 1,025. Sidekick, you're coming in at 989. So
no,
what is
it's
that?
Not completely. That's out of it.
No, that's a difference there of 11 and 25, 36. That's a difference of 36. Brandon's coming in at 906. I'm in at 881. And a loyal listener, Liz, is coming in at 851. All right, so Sidekick, you're down for Carl Edwards. NASCAR John has picked Kevin Harvick. Picking Kevin Harvick.
Oh, thank God.
That's actually going out on a limb.
Really? You think so?
No, he's qualified pretty far back. He's like in the 20s. He's like 22?
I thought he was... Geez, I just ran the order down, too. What's the matter with me? Where is Harvick coming in at? Why am I not seeing him? I thought he was up a little higher than that.
24. Oh, no, he is 3. All right. Excuse me.
That's what I thought.
I think he is 3. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And see, you know, I know exactly what the thinking is there. Despite the fact Harvick might have one win here, NASCAR John is playing off of the concept that it's go time for Harvick. You know, that's been the talk. Harvick is always coming from behind. So if it's go time for Harvick, he's going to get the win because that's what Harvick does. That's his MO. So anyhow.
Yeah, but he's got Phoenix next week.
Well, see, that's my thinking, too.
Yeah,
well,
which is a,
yeah. Right, as we've talked about, exactly. Which is almost, as Brandon's saying, that's almost a gimme track for Harvick. But it's the kind of thing where, I don't know, do you necessarily want to be going into a track that you're as comfortable with as a place like Phoenix? Go in there and go, oh, my God, I definitely have to do it here. I've done it before, but, my God, I really got to do it today. You know what I mean? That's maybe that's not the best move either. I don't know. Anyhow, Brandon, who do you want to go with today for your Eat My Dust?
I'm going to hate myself.
Uh-oh.
Because I've never done this.
Uh-oh. Oh,
I'm
going to
take Jimmy Johnson. I think Jimmy Johnson has no reason not to win the race today. I'm going to do that. And I'm actually going to tell you right now, my Eat My Dust picks for next week is indeed Kevin Harvick.
I think that's going to be everybody's pick
of
next
Harvick,
week.
Of Harvick at Phoenix. I am confident enough to say my pick for next week.
So I just want to get this. I just want to get this down. I want to make sure I understand this correctly. You mean that in the 2 years or so that we've been doing the Eat My Dust,
you've never picked Jimmy Johnson.
You've never picked Jimmy Johnson? Really?
No, I don't like him. I never did.
Now, are you picking him on your fantasy team today as well?
I do have him on my fantasy team. I did not pick him on my fantasy team. He is on it, but I did not pick him to win.
Okay. Have you ever had Johnson on your fantasy team before?
Yes. Yeah, I've had him on before. Right. Not often, but from time to time. I like him fantasy-wise because he's starting 19th, and I know he's not going to finish back there. You're going to get
some move.
Positions, yeah. Right. Right. And that's, you know, and he could win, you know. For the race, for my fantasy team, I picked Harvick to win only because, you know, Harvick is behind the eight ball when it comes to, you know, winning.
There you
go.
He
needs the win.
It's the philosophy I'm talking about. It's Harvick go time. Okay. All right. So,
I think he'll hover around the top all day. Whether he wins or not, we'll see.
And you're an eighth right now in the fantasy chase. So you know, you've got to have a good race today to get yourself up there for position yourself for next week. All right.
Yep.
I like
That's
it.
That's why
I like
I'm trying.
I like what I'm hearing. All right.
My lineup definitely is a little different looking than it has from other previous weeks. I will say that. Well, just having Jimmy Johnson on there, you know, I don't think I've had Eric Amarola on all year, and I have him on.
You got Amarola, you got Johnson. Who else?
I also have Harvick, Chase Elliott, and Tony Stewart. Chase Elliott and Tony Stewart are there mainly because I just can't get rid of them. I got them when they were so cheap, and I just can't. Yeah.
It's a value
and besides,
thing.
I like where they're both starting. Chase Elliott's starting 11th. Stewart's 23rd. I think they both improved that position. See, I'm looking at a lot of this as, you know, as how you get points in fantasy.
Right.
In other words, you know, the improving of positions is a plus. I don't want anybody who I think is going to lose a lot. That's why Harvick at third, I'm a little worried, but I think he'll finish top five, so it's close enough.
Got yeah, I don't even remember who's on my team. Not that it matters.
Nah.
Anyhow. All right, so just to review, NASCAR John's got Kevin Harvick, sidekick. You've got Carl Edwards. Brandon's going with Jimmy Johnson. I'm going with Carl Edwards. Talk about a race being go time. It's go time for Carl Edwards. He's got to have a good race here today. And I'm telling you right now, I do not like Kyle Busch. I don't like Kyle Busch this week. I don't like Kyle Busch for the final four. So I'm going to go with Carl Edwards today to win. Who saw that one coming? Loyal listener Liz is gone with Kevin Harvick. There you go. Interesting picks there. I like them. They're really mixed up today. All right. There's our program for today.
Go time.
Yes, it is. It's time to go. It's time to go watch football.
Hey.
Well, the race is going to get delayed. So, you know, plenty of time to watch that all through the evening. reminder here, folks, please. Tuesday night. You want to be here at 7 p.m. Eastern time for Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Brendan and I will be breaking down everything that took place this afternoon on all the gridirons around the country. Excuse me, take a look at the X's and O's of how things are shaping up as we're into NFL Week 9 here. Hard to believe we're at Week 9 already. But we'll be breaking it all down and reviewing it on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you're here with us for Red Zone Blitz, 7 p.m. On Thursday, then, is our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. You want to be here for that one, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Always a good time on the Frat House Sports Show. You want to be here Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then next Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., I'll be back with you for another relaxed Frat House Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Reminder as well, please, Tuesday is Election Day. Please get out there and please remember to vote. I don't care who you're voting for. Just go do it. All right. Make sure you do that. All right. There you go. That's our program for today. Many thanks to everybody that's been listening in. Thank you, Liz. Appreciate your comments always. And everyone else that's been listening in today. Plenty of sports on. And hopefully we get a full race in today at Texas. So get out there and enjoy your racing.